hear from Terry Fontenot? And what do we want to learn from Terry Fontenot? Well, I can go ahead and tell you this. We're not going to learn a whole lot. We're not going to learn about any moves. We may get some insight on coaching moves, maybe personnel moves. I don't think we'll learn a whole lot about what's going to be the future with Kirk Cousins. I'm not even sure if they know exactly what they want to do. I think they have a good idea that they're probably going to just end up cutting Kirk Cousins, but I'm not even sure we get a whole lot of insight on that. We're not going to hear too much. We're not going to learn too much from Terry Fontenot is my point in telling you that. But we'll see. I would like to know some what he thinks about some of maybe the performances of certain personnel moves he made last offseason, i.e. Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon. Again, Judon came on strong somewhat in the final few weeks of the season along with that Falcons pass rush overall. Justin Simmons, again, he was okay throughout. Obviously, he had that interception on Patrick Mahomes, which he has been doing his whole entire career. But I guess that was really his kind of maybe lone highlight. I'm sure there are others that maybe I'm overlooking, but again, he was just okay. He was solid, and he did struggle at times, and that whole defensive backfield struggled last week against the Carolina Panthers. But I do wonder what moves Terry Fontenot is going to make this offseason, and I wonder, again, what we talked about a little bit about this yesterday, and well, we talked a good bit about it yesterday, and we'll get into it again somewhat today, but I do wonder, because he's got a lot of decisions to make on the defensive side of the ball. A few on offense, but he's mainly got a bunch of decisions to make on the defensive side of the ball. We read off all the free agents, and I'll read them off to you again. Read off all the free agents yesterday that the Falcons have defensively, and they got a lot of decisions to make. Justin Simmons, Matthew Judon is one. Nate Landman is one. And there are even more past that. Richie Grant is coming at the end of his rookie deal after this season. So he's going to be a free agent. He's set to be a free agent this offseason. So there are definitely a lot of Lorenzo Carter, one as well. There are a lot of decisions to be made. And I'll just go ahead and get you the whole list as far as unrestricted free agents. So Lorenzo Carter, I'll give you the notable ones. I won't go through every single one. Lorenzo Carter, Drew Dahlman, Taquan Graham, Richie Grant, Eddie Goldman, Kadarius Hodge, Mike Hughes, Matthew Judon, Kevin King, Rondale Moore, Storm Norton, Justin Simmons, James Smith Williams, Kentavious Street, and Avery Williams. So a lot of those are defensive. A lot of questions yet to be answered defensively or need to be answered defensively. And then the biggest question defensively isn't even about what players you're going to bring back. Are you going to keep your defensive coordinator or not? Are you going to keep Jimmy Lake or not? And it would be great to know whether or not it would be great to know the answer to that question today. I don't think we're going to get the answer to that question today. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll find out shortly after Terry Fontenot speaks. Maybe we'll find out during Terry Fontenot speaks. I doubt it, because if they're going to wait this long to bring it up, I think they would just announce it afterwards. That way Raheem or Terry Fontenot don't have to address the fact that they are letting Jimmy Lake go. So if they do make the announcement today, it's probably going to be after Terry Fontenot finishes his press conference. It may be tomorrow, so we'll see. But that is the biggest question the Falcons have defensively is, are you going to keep Jimmy Lake? And that's the biggest question, because depending on whether or not you keep Jimmy Lake, honestly, it trickles down to, okay, if you're going to keep Jimmy Lake, there's a chance you keep a solid number, maybe try to bring back more of your unrestricted free agents on defense. Then if you aren't bringing back Jimmy Lake, then maybe you are less inclined to bring back some of the unrestricted free agents that you have on defense. So that's why it's important, because it will directly affect personnel decisions more than likely. Now, Matthew Judon, I think you have an idea of whether you want to bring him back regardless of defensive coordinator. Maybe not. Justin Simmons, I think it also, if you're happy with him, maybe you want to try and strike a deal with him. If not, you let him try to find another team. We'll see. But a lot of these defensive personnel decisions, I think, are going to be reliant upon who the defensive coordinator is going to be. Like James Smith-Williams. Did the Falcons like James Smith-Williams because he fit what Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris were trying to do? Now, if it's a Raheem Morris thing, then, you know, maybe you can keep him. But if it was more so because of Jimmy Lake's scheme, then maybe you don't want to try and bring back a James Smith-Williams. Same goes for a guy like Kentavious Street or Eddie Goldman. So we shall see. And Eddie Goldman obviously has to decide, too, if he wants to even come back to playing football. We all know his story has been well-documented. Retiring, unretiring, making it to training camp, then leaving and retiring while training camp was going on. So Eddie Goldman has to decide himself whether or not he wants to come back as well, too. But, again, I'll be very interested to see what the offseason looks like for this Atlanta Falcons defense. Because, again, offensively, you do have a few decisions to make. Drew Dahlman, of course, he's your starting center. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they try to upgrade that position. Do they feel like they can upgrade at that position? And will they decide to pull the trigger on that, or do they want to try and keep Drew Dahlman and keep the continuity along that entire offensive line? Because everybody else, starting-wise, all the other starting offensive linemen are under contract and are good to go. But Drew Dahlman, and you do have some backup offensive linemen, too, you got to make decisions on. Like I told you, Storm Norton, if you want to count, well, you count Brandon Parker, but he's more of a reserve guy, or a real reserve guy anyway. But Storm Norton being the other main one. Kadarius Hodge obviously made the Pro Bowl as a special teamer, but did just make a great catch last week at wide receiver and had some obviously big plays at wide receiver. Do you want to try and keep him? I feel like you would want to try and keep Kadarius Hodge, but again, that just goes to the point that you don't have that many decisions. Avery Williams, more of a special teamer. He's not really he's listed as a running back, but he's definitely the Falcons return guy. But again, few questions offensively that you have to try and answer. But defense, you got a lot of questions to answer. Richie Grant, are you ready to give up on Richie Grant? I know a lot of fans, a lot of you would say yes. We're good on Richie Grant. Well, do you then try and go find another safety? I know you got DeMarco Hellams coming back. Do you just roll with DeMarco Hellams? Cornerback, Mike Hughes. Do you like what Mike Hughes gave you enough to give him an extension? Or are you ready to put Clark Phillips on the outside? So these are all questions that are going to have to be answered throughout the offseason. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going to get all these answers from Terry Fontenot today, but I do wonder how much insight we'll get to some of those questions in his press conference today. If we'll get any insight, if we'll get any hints or anything like that. So very interested to see what Terry Fontenot has to say this morning, late morning. Again, he'll be addressing the media at 11 a.m. today, and we'll let you hear some cuts from it tomorrow. But it'll be a very interesting and very decision-filled offseason when it comes to at least the defensive side of the ball for the Atlanta Falcons. But we'll see what happens there. A couple of things I do want to mention before we hit a quick break here on the Hometown Take. Hawks back in action tomorrow as they will take on today. I'm sorry. Today is Thursday. I always lose the track of days. They all blend together. They're back in action tonight against the Phoenix Suns. 9 o'clock. You can hear that game right here on the flagship station of your Atlanta Hawks Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Pre-game starting at 8:30. Tip at 9 o'clock. Steve Holmey going to bring you all the action, of course. I believe Caleb Johnson is going to be on the pregame tonight with Mike Conte, I believe, going to be out traveling. But Hawks need to find a way to win at least two out of these last three games on this West Coast road trip. You got Phoenix, Houston, then Phoenix again to close it out on Tuesday. So find a way to beat Phoenix once, find a way to beat Houston, or find a way to beat Phoenix twice, something like that, because Houston is pretty good. I think Houston is, let me check their record. Houston, I believe, is 24-12. So they're a pretty darn good team. Now, the Hawks, they're a pretty darn good team, too, especially when they're healthy and they're right. I will check on the status for you of Jalen Johnson. I'm not sure if an update has been put out, but I'll get that to you here in a couple of seconds before we depart on this first break. But it would be nice if the Hawks can get Jalen Johnson back, and they have not provided an update as of yet. Actually, they did provide an update. Bogey, probable. Trae Young, probable. Onyeka Okongwu with a facial contusion is questionable. Jalen Johnson is out, along with Larry Nance, Cody Zeller, and Kobe Bufkin, who's still recovering from right shoulder surgery. So you will not have Jalen Johnson, and that'll be big, taking on a Phoenix team that is obviously long with Kevin Durant. You got Bradley Beal. Now, DeAndre Hunter can put in some work on either Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal, but you're going to have one of these guys step up defensively to cover the Suns' big three in Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. So we'll see. Hopefully the Hawks can get a dub tonight against the Phoenix Suns. Again, you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game coverage starting at 8:30. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, let's preview Notre Dame, Penn State. It's going down tonight. College football semifinal game number one. Penn State and Notre Dame. The Fight Mike Contis, can they keep it going? Or will Notre Dame keep their winning streak going as well? We'll tell you more about that on the other side here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to everybody tuned in right now. Thank you to all my people already at work or on their way to work for tuning in. Thank you to all my people already at the gym or on their way to the gym for tuning in. Appreciate you. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app, because if you like the show, you're enjoying the show, but you are not usually an early riser, so you're like, man, I want to listen, but I can't listen every day at 5 a.m. I'm not up that early. Guess what? It's all good. I got an answer for you. It's the free Odyssey app, because you can listen to this show in its entirety whenever you want. It can be 5 p.m. It can be 10 a.m., 9 a.m. It can be 3 p.m. Whenever you want to listen, you can do that with my show or any of the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All you have to do, download that free Odyssey app on your smart device or any of your smartphones, smart devices. Search 92.9 The Game. You'll find my show and all the other great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then you can listen to the shows in their entirety. You can listen to the full shows. You can also go back and listen to your favorite segments. You can go back and listen to interviews. You can do all that with the great and free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. Now, let's talk about a game that's going to be going down tonight, and that is Penn State, the Fighting Mike Contis, taking on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Notre Dame running back, I will tell you off the bat, Jeremiah Love is expected to play. Head coach Marcus Williams did tell the media that yesterday that he should be all good to go. So I think this will be a slugfest, to be honest. I think this will be a super slugfest. By the way, Penn State is looking to break a 9-9-1 series with Notre Dame. That's right. They're tied right now in their series, 9-9-1. I mean, that is as tied as you can get. 9-9 in the win and loss column, and then a tie to throw it all in there. I mean, that is crazy. This is the first meeting between the teams since Penn State beat Notre Dame back in 2007. Penn State beat Notre Dame 31-10. So it's been a while since these two teams have seen each other. They used to meet a lot back in the day. just to give you a little history lesson here, I got to give when they were going back. It was when they were both independents. I got the number right here, but they used to meet on the regular. And as a matter of fact, it was from 1981 through 1992 when they were both independents. But then Penn State joined the Big Ten starting in the 93 season. And so it's just going to be the team's third meeting since. And again, I told you, last meeting was in 2007 when Penn State beat Notre Dame 31-10. So some other news and notes for you as we get ready to preview this game. Notre Dame has won 12 straight games coming into this one. It's their longest winning streak since a 16-game winning streak that spanned the 2019 and 2020 seasons. 20th meeting all time between the programs, like I told you. They split the first 19, 9-9-1. And I think that is the – oh, also something of big note on the line here is that the winning coach in this game will go to the college football playoff title game. That'll be on January 20th, by the way, with a chance of becoming the first black coach to win a major college football national championship. So that is a cool, pretty cool news there for sure. So looks like there's going to be history made either way on that front. And it's been a long time since either team, speaking of national title appearances, it's been a long time since either team has made a national title appearance or has been national champions for that matter. Last time Notre Dame won a national championship, 1988. For Penn State, 1986. So it's been a long time since either one of these two teams were at the mountaintop, but they're both on the cusp of that, a couple of wins away from being national championships as both Notre Dame and Penn State. But one team going to be going home and going to have their season over after tonight. And one of the reasons I just told you a couple minutes ago that I think this game is going to be a slugfest, one of the reasons I think this game is going to be a slugfest is because not only do these two teams have good defenses, but all the four teams remaining in the college football playoff have top defenses in the country. So Ohio State ranks number one nationally in yards allowed per game this season. Now, you can also look at competition for that. I won't leave that out. You know, competition is a little bit different when it comes to some of these two teams. But Ohio State ranks number one nationally in yards allowed per game. Texas is number three. Penn State is number six. Notre Dame is number eight. So all of these teams, when it comes to yards allowed, rank in the top 10 as far as fewest yards allowed per game. So, look, I do think it was going to be a slugfest between these two teams. I think there's going to be a lot of running the ball. Obviously, Jeremiah Love for Notre Dame, he's going, with him being good to go, I think they're definitely going to use him and put it all out there. Look, you only got two games left, and the season's over after this. So they're going to put it out there, and they're going to be ready to put it all on the line, and Jeremiah Love is included in that. Riley Leonard, we saw how he can affect the running game for Notre Dame firsthand as far as Georgia goes, because he was the team's leading rusher against Georgia. I think he had, what was it, 80 yards in that game against Georgia, that quarterfinal game. So we know he's going to be a part of the running game. Jeremiah Love, he's going to be part of the running game, and that's going to be a lot of Notre Dame's MO. Because if you go back to that Notre Dame-Georgia game, Riley Leonard was able to pass the ball when he really, really needed to, but he only finished the game, 90 yards passing? And he had 80 yards rushing. So they're going to look to, I think, have that same formula against Penn State. And they're going to be looking to try and run the ball down Penn State's throat. They're going to be looking to try and put the football on the ground and not ask Riley Leonard to do too much with his arm. Now, the Dogs weren't able to get Riley Leonard to beat them with his arm. Maybe Penn State can do that. I do think that's going to be the key, though, for Penn State. I think any team taking on Notre Dame, you want Riley Leonard to have to throw the ball, because it's pretty clear Notre Dame doesn't want that. So I think that's for a reason. Riley Leonard is not the type of gunslinging quarterback you want just throwing the ball 20 to 30 times in the game. So I think that's going to be a huge key in this game. I think another thing in this game is going to be Penn State and Kent. I think they'll be fine keeping up offensively with Notre Dame, but I do wonder if they'll be able to. I do wonder a little bit if they'll be able to keep up with Notre Dame. I think they'll be able to get enough stops on Notre Dame, so I think they'll be good. But I do wonder about Penn State's offense a little bit. I think it should be good. They've shown some life here in the past few games, but it will be interesting to me to see what they're able to do there. Because again, like I said, they have come to life. They did score 31 against Boise State. Now again, you can say what you want about it being Boise State. They also scored 38 against SMU. Again, you can also say though that's SMU. But they did put up 30, and it was a loss, but they did put up 37 also against Oregon. So I do think this Penn State team will be able to score, but with a really physical defense. I mean, we saw how they gave Georgia problems. With a really physical defense of Notre Dame, I think they'll be able to rush the passer as well. So that's why I am really wondering about what this Notre Dame offense is going to be able to do. Drew Aller is going to have to play himself a really good game, and he did that last game, but he's going to have to come with that same type of energy. He's going to have to come with that a similar performance. So I will be interested to see just how this offense looks for Penn State, because again, Notre Dame, they're physical up front, and they got some big dogs up front that were able to compete with Georgia, and so I definitely think they'll be able to compete with Penn State. Now, as far as a prediction goes, I know I talked up Penn State's offense and said I think they'll be able to keep up, but while I think they'll be able to keep up and keep it a close game, I do not think Penn State's going to win this game. I'm sorry, Mike Conte, but I got to take Notre Dame. After seeing what I saw from Notre Dame firsthand, up close and personal, I think Notre Dame's going to win this one. I think they'll be able to control the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively, and I think they'll be able to have the success they need running the ball. Again, they ran for 150 yards on Georgia. Now, Georgia didn't do a great job of tackling and things of that nature, so look, I get it, but I think they'll be able to run the ball. I think they'll be able to control the line of scrimmage, and I think they'll be able to get enough stops on Penn State to take this one. So I got Notre Dame tonight. Final score, I'll give you a score prediction here too. I'm going to go, this feels to me like a 24-20 type of game. I think this is going to be a 24-20 type of game when it comes to Notre Dame, Penn State. So there's my prediction. I'm going with Notre Dame 24-20, and Marcus Freeman leads the Fighting Irish to the national championship. We'll either take on Ohio State or Texas. So we'll see as far as that goes. That game will be on Friday, and we'll obviously preview that game tomorrow. But I like Notre Dame beating Penn State 24-20, but we'll see how it goes. That game tonight at 7:30. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we'll go from the college game to the NFL. Because it's getting hot out in L.A., unfortunately, and it's getting a little too hot. And so the NFL coming up with a contingency plan just in case the unfortunate wildfires affect the Vikings-Rams game. We'll let you know more information about that. Well, they'll have to play in case they cannot play in L.A., and we'll give you some other NFL headlines as well. That's coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Thank you all who are tuned in and tapped in right now that are on your way to work or already at work. I appreciate you. Or all my people that are tuned in and tapped in that are on their way to the gym or already at the gym, I appreciate you. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app while you're at it on your smartphone and all your smart devices too. Going to talk about the NFL here. Wild card weekend creeping up on us. Be in a couple of days. Those games start on Saturday. We'll definitely talk a lot more about them really tomorrow. We'll maybe, if we have some time here, we'll get into a couple maybe the Saturday matchups today as well. But definitely first and foremost, talking about the NFL. Unfortunately, some wildfires are happening in L.A. and different sport, but kind of the same subject when it comes to those L.A. wildfires. Kawhi Leonard has actually stepped away from the Clippers to be with his family and be with, you know, the ones that have been affected by those wildfires. So it's an unfortunate thing that's obviously happening in L.A. and that happens, honestly, too often in L.A. But, you know, it gets dry, not a lot of rain, and everybody loves the L.A. weather, but because it's sunny and nice all the time, but that dries things out and unfortunately creates an easy environment for wildfires to happen. So unfortunate there, and that it's honestly prayers out to anyone and everyone that's been affected by it, and unfortunately maybe losing assets, losing homes because of it. So just want to send thoughts and prayers to those people who are being affected by that. But speaking of which, the NFL has come up with a contingency plan to move the Vikings Rams game to Arizona if the wildfires continue and have to make that game unable to be played in L.A. So, again, as wildfires continue to devastate several areas across Los Angeles, thousands are evacuating and it's obviously impacting the air quality to all that smoke and smog and things of that nature. The NFL has said it is monitoring the situation's potential impact on the Monday night wildcard playoff game between the Vikings and the Rams. It's going to be at SoFi Stadium. Remember, Vikings lost that game for the number one seed and the NFC North title. So they are a wild card team at, 14-3? So they are going to Los Angeles, who they won. The Rams won the NFC West. So the Rams are going to be hosting the Vikings at SoFi Stadium again if the air quality and if the wildfires permit. But if not, if the game cannot be held at SoFi Stadium, the NFL has come up with a contingency plan that involves moving the game to Arizona should that need arise. So in a statement yesterday evening, the NFL said it continues to prepare for the game to be played at SoFi Stadium, but if it had to be moved, it would take place Monday night at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, where, of course, the Arizona Cardinals play. Here's a quote from the league in that statement. Quote, as with all games, there are contingency plans. In the event a change in located is needed. So there you have it. In 2003, this has happened before, but with a regular season game. Not sure if this has ever happened with a postseason game. But in 2003, the league moved a Monday night regular season game between the Dolphins and the Chargers to Sun Devil Stadium in Temple, Arizona due to wildfires. The Rams, who had a scheduled day off yesterday, they're slated to resume practice today. And a team official from the Rams said they are also monitoring the situation. Now, good news, at least for Rams players and staff. The Rams have said that no players or staff members have been affected by the fires. The team is headquartered in Woodland Hills. That's a neighborhood located about 13 miles north of where the real fires are happening, around the Pacific Palisades. But they are separated by the Santa Monica Mountains. So there's mountains between where the fires are happening and where the Rams are located. So thankfully, none of the Rams players or staff have been affected. But again, still prayers and thoughts out to everybody that has been affected thus far. So the Chargers, if you're wondering about the other L.A. team, because, again, you got two L.A. teams, both playing SoFi, and if you're wondering, the Chargers, who are going to visit the Texans, they're not going to be affected, but they did alter their practice schedule on Wednesday to limit the players' time outdoors. And, again, the air quality not great right now in Los Angeles. The air quality index in the area varied Wednesday from 150 to well above 300, and a rating of 150 is considered very unhealthy, if you are wondering, and that's according to the system used to measure air pollution. So the air quality in Inglewood, California, where SoFi Stadium is located, was 281 yesterday afternoon. So, again, that's better. Closer you are to 300, the better. They're at 281, so that's good. But, again, across those mountains, not very good. And the air quality was at 150. So hopefully the games for the Rams and Chargers, well, honestly, just for the Rams, because the Chargers are going to have to be on the road. But hopefully the game for the Rams can be played at home, because you want that home crowd. You don't want the game to move to Arizona. And, you know, you never know what people with tickets, how their plans would be affected if they found out they got to go to Arizona now to go to the game. And I'm not sure what the drive is from Inglewood to Arizona to Phoenix. But still, you know, that might change a lot of people's plans and change a lot of whether or not people can go to the game if they have to go to Arizona and go to Phoenix just to watch their Rams play. So hopefully the game can still be played in L.A., and hopefully if the game is played in L.A., that means they have gotten the wildfires under control, and people are, you know, hopefully going to no longer be affected more than they already have been by those wildfires. So hoping to get good news on that, because, again, you never want anybody to have to evacuate or be put out of their homes due to wildfire, something that's, you know, unfortunately completely out of their control. So there you go. Other news. Let's stay in L.A. and talk about the San Francisco 49ers. How about this? They are planning to release Javon Hargrave, but not Deebo Samuel. So the San Francisco 49ers made significant tweaks to the contracts of defensive tackle Javon Hargrave and receiver Deebo Samuel in recent months. It did leave questions about whether or not those players were on their way out. But yesterday, 49ers general manager John Lynch provided answers to those questions. Hopefully we get some answers of our own when it comes to our own defensive players, Terry Fontenot. But when it comes to the 49ers, general manager John Lynch did provide some answers to those questions, revealing that the team does plan to release Javon Hargrave with a post-June 1st designation when the new league year starts in March. But he says there are no plans for Deebo Samuel. He says, quote, Deebo is under contract. He's a good player and has done a ton for this organization, and we're not in the business of letting good players out of here, end quote. So they don't want Deebo going anywhere. And look, Deebo did have to hold it down while guys were out. And unfortunately, Brandon Ayuk, after he came back, he got hurt, and Deebo was the main one around along with George Kittle trying to will the San Francisco 49ers to the postseason. Now, just because of the injuries, they couldn't do that and weren't able to do that. Trent Williams hurt too. And, I mean, we know all about all the injuries that the San Francisco 49ers faced this season. But Deebo was there, and Deebo was – I have to go and look at the number of games he missed, but compared to some of his other teammates, he was there for a lot of the season, Deebo was. So he was pretty reliable this season when it comes to injuries. And again, the 49ers restructured Samuel's contract back in September, a move that meant if the Niners were to trade or release him before June 1st, they would have to absorb $31.55 million of dead money on the cap. So if they did want to move from him with post-June 1st designation before his March 23rd option bonus is due, they could have decreased that number to cap hits of $10.7 million over the next couple of years. So, look, it seems like, one, John Lynch doesn't want to let him go. I truly do believe that because, again, Deebo is still a very electric, very good player, can still break off explosive plays, but also doesn't really make a lot of sense for the 49ers to let him go right now with the way his contract is set up. So You're going to keep him because he's a good player and because doesn't really do you any good to let him go with the dead money. So 49ers, again, possibly going to move, or they plan to release Javon Hargrave, and they are looking to keep Deebo Samuel. So there you have it. All right, let's get to a game that's going to be played on Sunday, but could be highly affected by a certain injury. I'm talking about the Packers wild card game against the Eagles. If you remember, in the Packers finale against, who are they playing? The Commanders, I believe it was. In that finale, the Jordan Love got hurt. He left the regular season against the Bears. Excuse me, it was the Bears. Duh, they play their division opponents on now at the finale, Dylan. But anywho, starter Jordan Love left the regular season finale against the Bears last week after he kind of banged his right elbow, and he said the numbness he experienced in his hand during the game has gone away, but is still sore. So it's kind of leaving his availability in question for the Packers, and that's going to be huge if, obviously, Jordan Love isn't able to play. Look, Malik Willis was good when Jordan Love was out, but I'm just going to be straight up with you. Malik Willis ain't Jordan Love, and I think there's no shade in admitting that. I think we all can recognize that. So if he's not able to go against the Eagles team that is planning to have Jalen Hurts, planning to have Dallas Goedert back after the IR, they're going to have A.J. Brown, they're going to have Saquon, they're going to have Devontae Smith, they're going to have all their defensive players, they're going to have that really good offensive line. I mean, you're going to be taking off what is pretty much a fully healthy Eagles roster. Going to be real, real tough to get a win, especially. It's going to be tough to get a win already if Jordan Love does play. But if Jordan Love can't play, it's going to be tough for the Packers. But, again, it seems like it definitely has gotten better, because if you remember, after the game, like I just told you, he didn't have any feeling in his hand. And this is his throwing hand, by the way, we're talking about. If I haven't mentioned that yet, this is his throwing hand we're talking about, his throwing arm that we're talking about, where he's having – elbow issues with. So even if he does play, how limited is Jordan Love going to be? That's a question we have to think about as well. So that could be huge for the Packers. Now, again, he says it's more his elbow and it's sore, but he's recovering from it and he does have feeling in it. So we shall see. And just while we're on the topic of Eagles and Packers, one quarterback is trying to get ready for the game. Another quarterback, well, they're both trying to get ready for the game, but one is trying to come back from an injury while one is looking sharp coming off of an injury, because Jalen Hurts, he was off of concussion protocol before their regular season finale last week, and now he's been back at practice, and Jordan Mailata, the offensive lineman for the Eagles, said he was looking sharp. So Jalen Hurts looking like he's feeling good after that concussion, and he is ready to go against the Green Bay Packers. So, again, if Jordan Love can't go, could be a long day for Green Bay if they are if they're not able to have their starting quarterback at the helm. So we shall see what happens there. But that is a look at some of your NFL headlines. And, again, we'll preview more of – we did a little bit today, but we'll preview – we'll definitely preview heavily all the Saturday all the matchups that are happening this weekend, and then we'll preview Monday's Vikings-Rams wild card game. We'll preview that Monday morning. But that is just going to about do it for the Hometown Take. Appreciate everybody tuning in, and you'll find out what is coming up on a Monday edition of The Morning Shift with Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson. When we come back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But tomorrow, we'll heavily react to what Terry Fontenot had to say in his press conference today. Again, starts at 11 a.m. We'll talk about what happened in the college football playoff game tonight between the Fighting Mike Contis, Penn State, and Notre Dame. And then we'll also preview what's going down in the NFL this weekend, with Wild Card Weekend being among us. That's all coming up tomorrow. But as for today goes, appreciate you tuning in. Follow myself at _DylanMatthews. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Morning Shift coming up next. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, 5 a.m. sharp on a Friday. Until then, peace.